Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose birth we just celebrated. The text for our sermon this morning is Psalm 31, reading there verses 19 and 20. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence you hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling you keep them safe from accusing tongues. This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, one of the saddest incidents from the New Testament record is recorded in the section between the two sections we read for the Gospel. It happened shortly after Jesus' birth, and we know it by the name the Slaughter of the Innocents. King Herod ordered the deaths of an unnumbered group of toddler boys in the city of Bethlehem. St. Matthew's account of that horrific incident is, as I mentioned, bracketed by the two sections of our Gospel for today. This morning we want to focus on not so much the passages that aren't there, but on what the passages that are there tell us and remind us. And they tell us and remind us how God, in His goodness and in the shelter of His presence, preserved and protected His Son, now a true human being, from that premature death that those other little boys suffered. God the Father protected His Son from the intrigues and from the plans of His enemies. Those verses also relate how, to fulfill prophecy, God called Jesus out of Egypt, as the prophet Hosea had said, and also that Jesus would no longer spend His life living and growing up in Judah, or in Judea, but up north in Galilee. It was His Heavenly Father's goodness and the shelter of His presence that brought about Jesus' deliverance. Jesus would rely, as a true human being and as true God, in that wonderful mystery of who He is, on that goodness of His Father and on that shelter of His presence all the days of His life, here to the next. On this last Sunday of Or rather, on this last Sunday of the calendar year and the Sunday after Christmas, as we look back to some of the events surrounding Jesus' birth, we also take some time to think a little bit about the days ahead, God willing, as we stand on the threshold of a new calendar year. They're a good thought for us as we go in to that new year. And the thought that I'll suggest is the way that Jesus lived not only His early life, but all the days of His life. And that is in our unchanged expectations from one year to the next. Our first unchanged expectation is how great the Lord's goodness is. And the second one is, He will hide us in the shelter of His presence. One of the images that we associate with the coming of the new year, isn't it a little baby in a diaper? And across that baby's chest and around its waist is a banner with the new year on it, 2014 in this case. I suppose that he represents, that baby represents the, the newness, the unknown qualities and expectations that we might have of the new year to come. Unfulfilled and unknown expectations. That's pretty much the way it is living life on this earth, except because we are the children of God. When Jesus began to live his life, when the Son of God began his human life on earth, he lived that life in unchanged expectations. He knew that his Father was always going to treat him the same. And that was, first of all, that the Lord, his Heavenly Father, would be good to him. Jesus began to fulfill his Father's expectations even as a little baby, when he began to live his life under the law, when everything he did fulfilled Scripture. From his early life on, Jesus began to fulfill the expectations of God's people in their hope in the coming Messiah. Skip ahead a little bit to Easter. Remember what one of the disciples said to Jesus before Jesus identified him about his and the other expectations of the Messiah? He said, "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." Jesus spared from the slaughter of the innocents by his Father's goodness is the one who redeemed Israel and who redeemed the entire world. And he did that and was able to do that because from year to year, all the days of his life, Jesus lived in the unchanged expectations of the goodness that his Father would have to him. God delivered Jesus from Herod's intrigues. God later delivered Jesus from those false accusations and false witness about who Jesus was and wanted to be as a king. God sent his son to Egypt and brought him back to Nazareth to fulfill the Holy Scripture. God sent Jesus and his family to Nazareth after Herod died a gruesome and painful death. The Heavenly Father poured out his goodness on Mary's baby boy, who is also his eternal son, so that Jesus would live his entire life under the law to redeem us who are under the law, as we heard in our second lesson. Jesus lived under the goodness of his Father so that he would die on the cross to pay for our sins. And as Jesus grew, as he lived in his unchanged expectations of his Father's goodness, Jesus grew up fearing the Lord and trusting in him, putting his reliance and refuge in him. Sure, it was Mary and Joseph who did all these things immediately. It was Mary and Joseph who took care of Jesus so that he lived his life under his Father's goodness. But it was his Father, his Heavenly Father, who was really taking care of him. And Jesus lived from one year to the next with that unchanged expectation of his Father's goodness. Tell me that you and I, who are the children of God through faith in Christ, who like Jesus fear the Lord and take shelter in him, tell me that it has been any different for us in the past. Tell me that we expect anything different in the future. Is God's goodness really going to change Are things going to happen to us in the new year that are unexpected, as if they would happen apart from God's goodness and His knowledge and His plan for us in our salvation? Didn't we live last year in the unchanged expectations of God's goodness? Don't we expect every day of this new year, if God grants it to us, or in however many days He grants it to us, don't we expect that every day our Heavenly King is going to set a banquet for us of material and spiritual delicacies beyond what we could even imagine or ask? God's goodness that we expect provides our daily bread. It provides the daily forgiveness of our sins. It provides our daily protection from all harm and deliverance from evil. What King David is doing in this psalm, and you see how it fits with all of our other readings for today, is in his own experience and from his own limited and imperfect way, describing a king who provides only the best for his loyal subjects. And those loyal subjects come to expect that, to expect nothing but his goodness. And so David paints that picture of our perfect king who is with his people all the time in history and is with us, always taking the treasures that he possesses, plundering our enemies, and giving us and sharing with us all good things, not keeping them for himself, but delivering them, distributing them to you and to me. The second part of this text in Psalm 31 speaks and goes more directly to that idea of protection and of care and of being sheltered in His presence. Think of a child being sheltered by someone's presence. That's for protection, isn't it? You hear all the time when in a robbery or in a natural disaster. Think of the woman, I think it was down in Greenwood, where during the tornado she threw herself on her child. She was sheltering her child with her presence and saved that child from any harm. Yet she herself, I believe, lost both her legs in the process of doing that. You and I know why God the Father sheltered His Son Jesus in His presence from being killed by King Herod. We do not know why God the Father did not shelter those other little boys living in Bethlehem. But we do know this, that the parents of those little boys who feared the Lord, who trusted in Him, who obeyed His word, that those parents who had had their little boys circumcised knew full well that those little boys were with God in heaven. They had that covenant of circumcision to give comfort to their hearts, even as no other person could comfort them and take away the pain that the death of a child must bring into the life of its parents. But God delivered Jesus from evil so that He could grow up and be our Savior. He went, when He returned, they took Him to Nazareth because an angel had commanded them to do that, and it was to fulfill prophecy. And we have to say that even though King Herod was dead, his son was no prize as a ruler in Judea. He was as evil and as cruel as his father. So we might well understand Joseph's hesitancy to take Jesus back to Jerusalem or to Bethlehem. But it was really all to fulfill prophecy. God the Father kept his Son in the shelter of his presence, protected him from his enemies, so that he could live that perfect life and then die and suffer our death on the cross, to be lifted up as that one who took our curse upon himself. And the Lord continued to do that for his Son from year to year in his life, didn't he? The one incident that probably comes to mind where the Father kept his Son in the shelter of his presence was, remember, after Jesus early in his ministry stood up and read from the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And his listeners took him out and tried to throw him off a cliff. But Jesus, safe in the shelter of the presence of his Father, simply walked and passed through that crowd and came to no harm. Or when they tried to arrest him in Gethsemane, when he spoke, they fell down. When he let them arrest him, then they were able to arrest him. The Lord our God kept his Son in the shelter of his presence to keep him safe. You and I also, don't we, live in the shelter of our God's presence. We live in the shelter of Jesus' presence. I mean, think of that. You and I sin every day. We still do the things we promise we won't do. We still give in to the temptations that we swear we'll never give in to again. And we feel that burden of guilt and of sin and the fear of damnation, thinking of standing before the holy and mighty God, our Father, in heaven. And yet, who is standing right over us? Who is sheltering us in our sins so that the Father only sees Him? Who is protecting us? Who is around us so the Father does not see us in our sin and guilt? We are sheltered in the presence of Jesus Christ, in that holy life and that sacrificial death that He offered. And when the Father looks at us or looks for us, He only sees Jesus as that mother covering her child and protecting her and keeping her alive. Jesus' blood and righteousness covers us and keeps us alive now and for eternity. And God also, through His angels, His holy angels, keeps us in the shelter of His presence. He keeps us safe and sound. It's been that way in years gone by. Tell me that we expect it to be any different in the future. Do we have some different expectations about God in the future, that Jesus isn't going to cover us anymore? That His angels aren't going to protect us and take care of us anymore? So that no harm comes to us? So that no disaster comes near us? No, those angels are going to be with us. God keeps us in the shelter of His presence, as Paul writes, "Who can bring any charge against those whom God loves? It is God who justifies." We are sheltered from all accusation of sin. God will continue to send His angels to watch over us, to guard us in all of our ways, and to protect us. I like to tell the story, and so you've probably heard it, about a friend of mine who preached a New Year's Eve sermon And he started out, as we stand here on the threshold of 1985, the only problem was it was the threshold of 1990. And yes, it was a friend of mine. It was not who you are thinking. But the point I want to make is, because of our unchanged expectations from year to year, does it really matter what year we stand on the threshold of? Does it really matter what the banner around the New Year's Day infant reads? Because however that banner of that infant reads, whether it's 2013 or 2014, it really doesn't matter, does it? Because the banner, the sash that we see across the chest of the baby that Herod could not kill reads faithfulness. Amen.